This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Most wonderful time of the year because so many sports come together, the Vikings obviously. But basketball now makes its way into our menu as well. And many of you remember Al Nolan Jr., Minneapolis Patrick Henry High School to the University of Minnesota. And he has been out and about in the field of education for quite some time now. I had a chance to observe him up close and personal at Park Center High School recently. We'll get to that in a minute. But Al, first of all, thanks for joining us. Happy holidays.
Hey, Mike. Happy holidays. It's an honor. Thanks for having me on the show.
Always good to visit with you. Take me back to your days at Minneapolis Patrick Henry High School with Coach McKenzie, and you know, obviously you were in the kind of close to the tail end of the glory days of Henry, when you guys were winning and winning every year and putting up big numbers. What was that like?
Those are some amazing times. You know, we were really doing well. As you spoke before, Coach McKenzie, amazing coach, such a winner, hard worker, really pushed us as young men, not only on the basketball court, but as in the classroom as well. So, you know, those are some of the glory days.
And you had, you know, before you, there were great players as well. Henry, and you had Brandon Smith, but before you, you had Lawrence McKenzie and Terry Pettis and Johnny Gilbert. I mean, there was a 10-year run there. Henry was just second to none. Of course, won four straight state championships.
Absolutely, and that was a big reason why I wanted to go to Patrick Henry after looking at the history and the tradition. And like you said, watching Lawrence McKenzie growing up as a point guard, I idolized him a lot and wanted to, you know, mimic my game behind, you know, after his. So it was something that I always dreamt about, was going to Patrick Henry. I actually started at North High School first and ended up transferring over to pursue my career in high school and finish it out.
What was it? You went to the University of Minnesota. Who recruited you? Was that Tubby Smith, and what was that like?
No, I actually got recruited by Dan Munson. So Dan Munson recruited me, and you know, my senior year was the year that he decided to resign. And then Tubby, I actually got a text message while I was in class saying, "Hey, Tubby Smith is you guys' new coach." And I was in math class, and I was like, "Wow!" You know, I was ecstatic because Tubby Smith is such a legendary coach. So it was an amazing feeling to come in for those 4 years and play for Tubby Smith. But I actually was recruited by Munson.
He was pretty tough on you guys. Tubby was.
Absolutely, yeah. Starting out, you know, a freshman year coming in, he really set the tone. He had a really old school mentality, real hard nose, hard work ethic. You know, really about business type of mentality that you needed, type of attitude you need to bring towards the game, which ultimately helped me be as successful as possible at the U.
Well, so now you get out of college and you end up pursuing a career in education. Explain what you're doing right now and where you are.
So I'm an administrator at Park Center High School. So basically I, you know, help students as far as behavior plans, attendance, counsel them. Also run a young men's group right now that I'm working with, where we kind of are working to support them emotionally, socially, and you know, academically. Just trying to develop a culture of learning and trying to help those guys reach their full potential.
And that's what I had a chance to observe. You had sophomore males in a classroom, kind of off the beaten path as opposed to traditional curriculum, and you're talking about things. And I found it interesting because part of you want to knock down all the barriers so that guys can just feel free to talk about whatever they want to talk about. Personal life, what's holding them back, what they're excited about, what gives them anxiety. What do you learn about these kids? Do they open up right away because it's just a group of their peers and it's male only?
You know, it takes a little bit of time because they have to warm up to me. And a lot of times, you know, I shared some of my struggles and my story to kind of get them to understand that I'm not this perfect human being. You know, this is just a manifestation of what I've gone through and who I've become. And so they do open up, and you start to see that, you know, a lot of them come from broken homes. A lot of them do deal with anxiety. A lot of them, you know, don't believe in themselves. Some of them don't understand the importance of education. And so it's a great space for us to have. It's like a safe space for them. I get to learn a lot. And I'm able to share and kind of help them put plans in place and also understand their capabilities and also develop some good habits as far as studying and going about school the right way in order for them to be successful.
One of the things that I noticed, and you're with sophomores, and some of them might have their driver's license, some don't, but when I was observing there, you were talking about what you'd done over the Thanksgiving break, an extended break, and it didn't sound like a lot of them, or as many as you would like, went out and did something really participatory. In other words, they stayed home, they played video games, they did this and that. What can be done to get our young people out doing something healthy, all, you know, on the go, on the move in a positive way, instead of succumbing to video games or TV or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think just us having, you know, more opportunity for them. I find that a lot of our young people feel like there's not enough opportunities. There aren't enough Big Brother, Big Sister programs anymore. There aren't enough, you know, curricular activity programs and groups at the rec centers doing different things, taking them to the science museum or taking them to the zoo to see things outside of their neighborhood. And I think if we just reach back and start to create these environments for our young people to provide them opportunity, provide them support and something different, then we can get them out of their comfort zone a little bit and help them to start to grow, opposed to just staying at home and like you said, sticking their eyes on the video games.
Al Nolan is our guest, former Patrick Henry star and Minnesota Gopher guard, of course. Al, you talk about that, leaving your comfort zone. It's critical for all of us because you can't grow unless you leave your comfort zone. How do you nudge them? How do you get them out there? How do you teach a kid that it's okay to leave your comfort zone and you might even fail? You may fail when you leave there, but you don't fail because the victory is in leaving it.
Absolutely, and I try to let them know, you know, failure is a part of success. And I know we did an activity the other day, and you were there. I had kind of had them read off their goals, and I wanted them to read them out loud to our other, you know, their peers and our other students in the group, just to kind of put them in an uncomfortable space of sharing, hey, what is it that you want to accomplish? And I want you to say it out loud, and I want you to believe it. And I want you to come up with a plan for it, and I want you to share it with your brothers in this room so that we all can hold you accountable to it. And I think just putting them in spots where they are uncomfortable, whether they like it or not, so they learn that, hey, you know, sometimes I'm going to have to step out here, and after results, I'll actually be happy that, wow, I could actually do this. I can stand up in front of class. I can articulate myself, and even if I do stumble on a few words, it's okay, because it's part of my growing process. And so just helping them understand that failure is part of success, and you have to continue to fail in order to succeed and be successful in certain things. And I definitely am someone who went through my struggles and, you know, failing a number of times in order for me to reach a couple of my goals as well.
What do you think? Give me the top three things that would concern you the most about a sophomore male at Park Center High School in terms of obstacles that he faces now. And is it any different than what you faced, or is it the same?
I just think not necessarily believing in yourself, not having the proper tools and study habits to be successful in that classroom, and also getting caught up in the environment that you're in. And they're all similar things that I dealt with coming from the inner city of, you know, being attached to friends who may not have the same aspirations and goals as you, but you don't want to stick outside of the crowd because you feel like you're a lone wolf. And, you know, not having the tools, coming from a home where maybe education isn't pushed and isn't important, and so you're not taught the proper habits and of having the tools of learning how to study, sit down and get work done, how to prioritize, how to plan out, you know. So these are the different things that I think that they struggle with that concern me here, and the same things that I've dealt with. And so, you know, I'm fortunate enough to, you know, be put in position by Heather Miller-Sink to create a type of environment where I can teach them these things and assist them, support them.
You know, you just said it, though. If you don't have self-confidence, or if you don't have a belief that you can control your destiny, it's pretty hard to go from A to B. I mean, self-esteem, self-confidence is so much a part of whatever it is that you're going to do in life. Can you create self-confidence and self-esteem with kids if they haven't done a lot yet, if they haven't accomplished a lot yet?
Absolutely, and what I like to do is I like to give them a grade sheet and to keep track of their progress throughout the trimester, and we try to build off every little victory that you can, you know. So you go week for week. Hey, I see you improved your grade from a C to a B in this class. That's great. That's great improvement. I've seen you got these assignments and on time. That's great improvement. Let's build off of that, and you know, slowly but surely, you develop that confidence, and they develop that confidence in themselves, and they start to see the growth, and they start to understand that, hey, I really can do this. I can get this done, and so I want to keep going. I love this feeling of success, you know, and so then they continue to do it, and they start to, you know, bask in their glory, and eventually it becomes them. So that's just a great thing about working with the young men. It's so rewarding of seeing their growth.
Al Nolan is our guest. Al, the other thing that we do a lousy job in society of is, and it's a little bit back to your point, is when a kid leaves his comfort zone and is willing to put himself out there where he's vulnerable or where he could be humiliated, well, you know, maybe he goes out for the basketball team and he gets cut. We need to celebrate that more and find a way to encourage those kids and say, hey, man, leaving your comfort zone was the victory. Putting yourself in a position where you could be laughed at, that was a victory. Or maybe it's the time that you did not do something. Maybe it's the time that there was a party going on down the block and you knew that there was going to be alcohol and drugs there and you did not go.
Absolutely.
Nobody gives anybody a prize for that, but it'd be fun and interesting, at least if we could find a way to pat these kids on the back for making good decisions, for leaving their comfort zone, independent of whether or not they win a trophy or register in the scorebook.
Exactly. And I think right now, you know, we're not doing enough of that. And kids aren't really understanding that importance of self-confidence and being different. I find in society with social media, everybody's trying to be the same. And if you're different, then, you know, you're kind of looked at as an outcast. And it's like, you know, we all have to be different and be successful. And you have to reach for your goals. And as you said, be vulnerable, be open to failure and understand that sticking yourself out and being vulnerable isn't a loss. It's a win. It's a victory because you've decided to attempt to pursue something, whether it came through how you wanted it to or not, and you have to continue to, you know, chip away at that wall, and sooner or later you will see some light. And once you see a crack of dawn, then, hey, you're going full force to get your goals and your dreams.
You know, and along those lines, you talked to them about you were academically ineligible one semester at the University of Minnesota. Yeah. What did you learn from that ultimately that you went into education, et cetera, but what was the good that came out of that?
I just really learned, first of all, how blessed I was to be in the position that I was in and the opportunity I was afforded. And I understood, you know, that, hey, you could lose this opportunity. And once you lose this opportunity, what else do you have to look forward to? You would only have education. And I didn't have the proper study habits at the time in order to be successful. I was always trying to just kind of slide by in order to play basketball. And so it helped me to really prioritize my life and understand the important things and also just be grateful for that opportunity and understand that, hey, seeing I was given this type of opportunity that millions of kids would love to have, I need to make the most of it. And so I decided, you know, after that situation, that it was time for me to go full force in everything that I did in life.
Beyond high school, for these kids that, you know, as I mentioned, now you've gotten an advanced degree, you're heading towards your master's and assistant principal career, etc. What do you want these kids to be? What do you want them to think about when they leave Park Center High School? What do you want their vision to be as to what they can become?
I just want them to be prepared with the essential tools to function in society and to go after their goals. Once they leave here, I want them to understand that, hey, anything's possible. But with that being said, it comes a lot of hard work, comes a lot of adversity, patience, being vulnerable, you know, doing these different type of things that are going to help you be successful, putting yourself in a position, taking opportunities. And I just want them to understand that they can achieve whatever comes to their mind, but it's not going to be easy and it will not be given to them. And sometimes I find that a lot of them think that, hey, once I finish school, you know, I'm just going to, you know, fall into the job that I want, or this basketball team or football team is just going to pick me up and it's just going to magically appear without putting in the work. And so they have to understand you have to put in the work first. And once you put in the work, the dream will manifest itself.
Yeah, that's right. And once you put in the work, then you get the self-confidence because you're prepared for it. Obviously, the social media is another dimension that you didn't have. Certainly, I didn't have back in the day. How does that change things? You mentioned it a little bit earlier. And how is there maybe some benefits to it?
I think the benefits are, I like to tell a lot of the students, you know, if they look on Instagram and they see, you know, maybe some guys in basketball working out, or they see some doctors or lawyers putting in the extra hours, because like you said, a lot of stuff people put on social media, it's like you're actually seeing the people who are successful, and you're seeing their day-to-day lives, and you're seeing that, okay, every day they're going to the library and they're studying, every day they're putting a couple of hours or what so into their craft or whatever it is they're trying to pursue. It's not just something that's popping up, and so I think just following, you know, some of the role models that are out there, you're able to see their growth through the social media because they're showing and presenting you their day-to-day routine and their failures along with their successes. You're able just to see the whole process that you spoke to before.
How much are parents a predictor of success, do you think, based on what you've seen? One parent, two parents, parents that care, et cetera?
it's huge. Just, you know, having somebody in your corner for when, if you do fall, to pick you back up and to encourage you and to tell you to continue to stick your neck out there. I still have my parents to this day encouraging me to do things that I want to do. I, you know, at some point in time, I kind of thought, you know, maybe assistant principal was too much for me. And I always had my mother and my father in my like, no, you can do it. You come this far. You're able to overcome a lot of different obstacles in your life. Why wouldn't you be able to get that? And so just to help to remind you and support you at those times where you may be struggling or at your lowest point, to just continue to tell you to pursue and fight and go after those goals and put you also in position to do so.
Aside from this class that I observed, what do you enjoy the most about your job right now on a daily basis?
Just being around the kids, it's such a rewarding feeling to, like I said, see their growth day to day. And just, you know, every day is anew, which I love. It's never the same. And just developing relationships with our young people and seeing what's going on in their lives and being able to give back and help them on a day-to-day basis. And I just love it and enjoy it, working with our youth because they're so innocent and their minds are so open to endless possibilities. It's a beautiful thing to be able to encourage them and try to help guide them to get where they want to go. So I just enjoy working with young people in general because, you know, everything's anew for them and they're always curious about what's the next step or always asking questions about how to get here, how to get there, or asking questions about myself. And I just love to be a mentor and I like to lead and try to show and be a leader by example as well.
Appreciate you, sir. Keep up the good work and we'll stay in touch.
I appreciate you as well. Thank you, sir. You have a good one.
You bet. Al Nolan Jr., former Golden Gopher, former Minneapolis Patrick Henry High School. Boy, they had a string of good players there. But it's really cool to see. He mentioned it. He's academically ineligible at one point in his college career. That doesn't mean you're done. That doesn't mean your life's been defined. You get back up. You find a way to graduate from college. Now you get into grad school, and he's getting in the master's program right now. And for all of us out there, I mean, failure is a temporary state, man. You get beat, you get knocked. Yeah, I get it, man. The goal wasn't met. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it was somebody else's fault. Whatever the plan was, it went askew. It doesn't matter. You can be academically ineligible and still get your college degree someday and still end up pursuing an advanced degree if you're willing to. And that's I get Al and Nolan, and I'm watching with these kids, and you just worry. Sometimes that they get paralyzed by failure or even more so paralyzed by fear of failure. You know, that's an even more daunting and risky proposition. Wixon Jewelers time is 6:52. Looking for the perfect gift this holiday season? Visit Wixon Jewelers today. Boom, 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 boom. I love it. Give me a little sax, I always say. Not too much, but can there ever be too much sax? Welcome back, Mike Max Sports to the Max. I'm getting to this point in my career where I'm not sure that what I do is I do the show live out at the Lone Oak Bar and Grill. It's a great Viking show, great to be out there. Then I always tape an interview that we can play between 6:30 and 7. But if traffic's not just right, sometimes it can just about get you, and it just about did tonight, but we made it. I parked a block and a half early, ran physically running. Cut through Dan Kelly's, took a left at the door, boom, the elevator was right there waiting for me, boom, quick, I faked to the newsroom, gave them a quick head fake, and then Jonathan had set it up so I could, it was easy, got to the finish line. Big show planned for you still. Ben Utek's going to join us, former professional football player. We'll talk to him about the Minnesota Vikings, and he's got a Christmas show that he's performing. Coach Stiegemeyer from South Dakota State, the showdown is on with North Dakota State coming up this Saturday. Justin Hagnon will join us from the breakdown. He'll talk high school basketball. We'll take you. How much do you lay on the Minnesota Viking coaching staff this year? How much do you say this isn't about talent? This is about the coaching staff. I don't know. We haven't really broached that yet. We will. Sports to the Max coming your way on News Talk 830 WCCO.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.